The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The 66th session of the UN Commission on Narcotic Drugs was March 13th through 17th. So much happened this year. It was moving and inspiring. Voices of people from the global south, of indigenous people from all over the world, of young people, of people who use drugs, and others with lived and living experience, all calling for real reforms, like decriminalization, decolonization, legalization. We're going to hear a few of those voices on today's show. First, from the morning session on March 16th, let's hear from Dr. Gary Zapiquiciro, head of Mexico's National Commission Against Addictions. He'll be followed by Alejandro Ocampo, a congressmember from Colombia, then Maria del Mar Pizarro, also a congressmember from Colombia, and finally Ellie Schwartz with Students for Sensible Drug Policy.
Excelentísimo
Embajador. Your Excellency, Ambassador Miguel Carillo Ruiz Blanco. We warmly congratulate you upon being elected chair of this session. Representatives of the vice chairs and rapporteur of the session, ladies and gentlemen, heads of delegations, representatives of international organizations and civil associations, friends, each and every one of you. From southern Mexico, a cordial greeting to you on behalf of the Mexican government and people. At this time and on this occasion, I won't be telling you about how in Mexico we are fulfilling our policies and activities that are designed and devoted to addressing the drugs problem, as all other nations are doing in this international array of efforts. In this occasion, rather, I would prefer to talk to you about the challenges that we face as a country, as a region, as a continent, and finally, on behalf of humankind. Mexico is transforming rapidly. We are battling poverty, corruption, injustice, inequality, and clearly, many of these are areas of change which are equally impacted by our struggle against the drugs problem. Since 2012, alongside our brothers and sisters of Colombia and Guatemala, we had convened an extraordinary session on the world drugs problem. We urgently require a paradigm shift, a change of direction. We need to set aside the drugs-centered discourse because the war on drugs has been a war on people. The losses are told in human lives, not in inert substances. And we need to place people at the center of this, their human rights, the structural causes underpinning the drugs problem, inequality, impunity, poverty. My country is convinced that it is the anti-prohibitionist stance that has prevailed. What is punitive, prohibitionist, war, a heavy-handed policy, have all shown that this leads to a worsening of indicators. We need to do something in a different fashion. The drugs trafficking trade remains highly profitable throughout the country and has been able to corrupt entrepreneurs, banks, governments, even public order. In Latin America, in my country, it has led to deaths, disappearances, and has undermined the social order and sowed terror. Latin America has paid a disproportionately high price in this war. Impoverished, displaced, communities that have been affected, individuals incarcerated. Apparently, in the southern hemisphere, we provide the debt, and in the northern hemisphere, the users are provided. We don't believe that in Mexico you have bands of drug trafficking criminals and in the north of the country you just have gangs. The international drugs trafficking problem will not be understood unless you equally understand the existence of gangs and organized crime in all of our countries, often colluding with the authorities in our countries too. We believe that a different way is possible. Mexico and Colombia will convene a conference of dignitaries in Latin America in order to address new ideas and new policies. We will find alternatives that will always seek to uphold human rights based on science, humanism, and on good medical practice. We believe it's time to turn away from hypocrisy, a double standard, empty rhetoric, and to think about a real regulation in order to put an end to this war. And if that makes it necessary to review and amend the three treaties, well, then this is a must. We need proposals that set rhetoric aside. While you and I are discussing at this session, in my country, thousands of individuals have disappeared, thousands have been jailed for crimes where there were no acts of violence and where no individuals were affected. We need a change for the good of our countries and indeed for the good of the world.
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon. My name is Alejandro Campo, Congress member in Colombia, and I wish to use this opportunity to discuss with you the policies in the war on drugs. While in the United States, a kilo of cocaine costs $27,000, and in Europe, 35,000 euros, in my country, and in many countries worldwide, it's being sold at far cheaper prices. Our fields, our mountains, our valleys, it's no secret to anyone, are producing cocaine, the same cocaine that is being distributed worldwide. But the war efforts are focusing on our peasant workers. That is where the violence is being brought. That is where death is taking place. These are where the displacements, the disappearance take place. This is where all of these effects that destroy the lives of thousands of men, women and children in our countries are taking place in our countries, all over the world. Drugs trafficking consists in transporting a prohibited substance, which means that the very risks inherent to transporting it increase its value. Armed men carefully are guarding immense plantations. Thousands of people engaged in this activity worldwide, thousands patrolling streets, and thousands engaging in the sale of this product in the streets of the US, the Europe, and all over the world. Negotiating the risks that are inherent to drugs trafficking and the black market, all of this is being increased and increasingly valorized. What do we have now? Death. Deaths where it is being produced, death among the cartels and gangs that are waging war on each other, deaths of children, of young people, as a result of overdoses, as a result of using substances blended with others that lead to their deaths. And I feel that we really have emphasized the need for prevention, promotion and education, but equally on regulation. The war on drugs is being lost all over the world. And it is young people, children, boys, women, men, who are losing their lives as a result of this conflict, consuming these drugs in a fashion that leads to their deaths. And I would invite everyone all over the world that we consider a form of regulation where we are able to eliminate drugs trafficking and violence and death, and where instead we are able to save the lives of these people who each day are out in the streets trying to buy a gram of cocaine because they need it. Let's put an end to the deaths. Let's put an end to the death at the barrel of a gun for a purchase worth a few dollars. Let's tackle the problem at its roots in the form of regulation, in the form of permission, where countries are able to impose taxes, where we are able to engage in public health campaigns in order to save lives. In that way, we'll be able to overcome deaths as they occur in the streets, stop young people throwing away their lives because they're using poor substances.
My name is Mar Pizar. I'm a congresswoman from Colombia, but I'm also a citizen of the world. And as a fellow human, I want to appeal to your solidarity and humanity. In 1 year, in Colombia, Mexico, and Central America, we have lost 150,000 lives in the wars over the control of the cocaine trafficking routes. We've lost many hectares of jungle and biodiversity due to the illegal crops of coca leaves. We have made thousands of hectares sterile because of the air aspersion of Roundup. We've lost millions of lives in an internal armed conflict fueled by the cocaine-based illicit trafficking. What do I say about the fight against drugs? That our production has risen by 43%. It's just not working. Today, we ask you to join an uncomfortable but necessary conversation. Will cocaine regulation be a more suitable strategy to prevent consumption, death, and environmental disasters? We are asking to analyze the data, investigate, discuss, listen to science. But overall, I'm asking us to be sincere. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. We firmly condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and in particular, the disaster this has had on people who use drugs in the region. My name is Ellie Schwartz, and I speak here today as a representative for Students for Sensible Drug Policy. I am also here speaking on behalf of the Paradigma Coalition, a youth-led group of organizations working to promote human rights and harm reduction. The majority of drug policies reference the protection of youth as a key goal. Young people and youth civil society hold keen insights into the needs and changing drug use patterns of young people. Many member states have engaged youth-led civil society and young people who use drugs in the development and implementation of their policies to great success. Young people who use drugs hold additional risk as their criminalization and punishment have lifelong effects and infringe on their human rights, such as the right to health, the right to education, and the right to housing. This is why we, as young people, urge member states to decriminalize drugs for personal possession and remove punitive measures for drug possession or use in education. We ask member states and relevant agencies to engage with young people who use drugs and youth-led civil society in designing evidence-based, youth-informed harm reduction initiatives that are designed for youth by youth. While the CND demonstrates its commitment to engaging young people in policy development through the Youth Forum, we have highlighted for many years now how young voices continue to not be taken seriously and are tokenized at the CND. The Youth Forum continues to limit meaningful youth involvement as it removes its participants from the main proceedings of the CND. All discussions are led by UNODC and not by youth, and primarily discuss prevention and not resolutions, CND agenda items, or issues raised by young people. The Youth Forum has been described as a learning opportunity rather than a manner of engagement for young people in decision-making, which radically diverges from the purposes of almost every other youth forum across the UN. Furthermore, the selection process, structure, and purpose of the Youth Forum remain unclear to many member states and civil society alike. Following the youth consultation with UNTOC and the Synthetic Drug Strategy Civil Society Consultation, a youth consultation on drugs was requested and highly anticipated, but did not occur. The lack of meaningful involvement of young people and youth civil society is further exemplified by the fact that the majority of youth-led side events were scheduled in the same time slot. We are disappointed to see the shrinking space for the youth voice to be heard in both the CND and UNODC, particularly as we have seen major progressions in youth representation across the UN, such as the upcoming establishment of the UN Youth Office. We encourage member states to look more critically at the role of the Youth Forum in the CND and encourage them to consider proposing progressive changes to youth engagement at the CND and at national levels. We applaud those member states who have included youth and youth civil society in their delegations and encourage them to continue to listen to youth members on their delegation and to support other member states in following suit. This Friday at 1 p.m. in room M3, we are holding a side event discussing the opportunities for engaging young people in drug policy development and implementation. And we encourage both member states and UN agencies alike to attend and learn from concrete examples and best practices on youth engagement in drug policy. If our well-being is as important as you say, you must seize these opportunities to work with us. Thank you.
You just heard Ellie Schwartz with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. She was preceded by Maria del Mar Pizarro, a member of the Colombian Congress. Before her, you heard Alejandro Ocampo, also a member of Colombia's Congress. That segment started with Dr. Gaddy Zabiki-Ciro, head of Mexico's National Commission Against Addictions. They spoke before the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs, which held its 66th session in Vienna, Austria, March 13th through 17th. Simultaneous interpretation was provided by the United Nations. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. In addition to meetings of the main body of the CND, a number of side events were held. Some really fascinating presentations, important information, valuable perspectives, and thankfully there's a record of at least some of it. Not all of the side events were live-streamed. Lord only knows if anyone recorded the rest of them. I mean, loyal listeners have heard me gripe about CND's lack of transparency often enough, and there are only so many minutes in the show, so let's not dwell. Instead, we'll just keep it moving. On Wednesday, March 15th, the government of Ghana was lead organizer of an event entitled The Efforts of Ghana Towards Placing Health and Human Rights at the Heart of National Drug Policy, Lessons Learned and Future Opportunities. One of the speakers was Seth Kwame Ochampong, member of the Parliament of Ghana.
Ghana's journey to drug policy reform was influenced by 3 decades of running purely supply and demand reduction mechanisms. And as a result of that, we realized that the fight was never being won. The war on drugs kept raging on. And so we, as a people, based on all the outcomes that we had signed as a member state to the United Nations, we realized we needed to get our acts together. Fortunately, I must say that our maiden law, which is the PNDC Law 235, enacted in 1990, was super outdated by the time we were enacting a new law. This was purely focused on demand and supply reduction. However, we all know that the fundamental goal of drug policies should be to improve people's health, safety, security, and socioeconomic well-being. Clearly, these are entirely missing, and they were missing indeed in Ghana's old law. The review of Ghana's drug law was to address the policy gaps in the PNDC Law 235. Why the change was necessary? The implementation of the change gave us a new Act 1019, and these arose due to some reasons, a few of which I share. Drug use was still in ascendancy despite the stringent nature of the PNDC Law 236. There was a need to do something different, which was evidence-based. The need to offer life-saving services for people who use drugs was really the focus on harm reduction, indeed public health. The removal of custodial sentences for people who use drugs, i.e. to help us decongest our prisons, showing that we were dehumanizing with our old law. The focus on alternative livelihood, providing alternative development for socioeconomic impact. Medical advantages, therapeutic benefits of cannabis being medicinal and for industrial uses, i.e. fiber out of the plant to help us. We are a country that grows a lot of cocoa and we import a lot of jute sacks to ensure that we bag our cocoa and export them. And by growing this, we will going to ensure that we can add some value to it and improve our own lot. how the process was managed, purely under this dispensation, we are a democratic state. So deep, inclusive stakeholder engagement was the way to move. The process and the route achieving this could only be seen through stakeholder consultations and the support of certain bodies, some of which are listed below. I believe here you see on my slide, civil society organizations, academia professionals such as the pharma groups and frontline health personnel and central government policies. Highlight of Ghana's new drug law. I must start from here. It is crucial for me to highlight the core gains of the new law briefly, but I must admit that it's not the perfect law. But at least it has set the pace for better things to happen in the sub-region. We did what we say. We converted the prison term of drug possession for personal use into a fine of between 200 to 500 penalty units, translating into our local currency as 2,400 and 6,000 Ghana cedis. This means that instead of sending people to prison for up to 10 years for simple possession of drugs for personal use, they will offer alternatives to incarceration. This aligns with current programs and policies to decongest our prisons, notably the Justice for All program, which was instituted in 2007 in our country. The new law, I must say, also allows for the first time the implementation of life-saving harm reduction services for people who use drugs, which will help curb transmission of blood-borne diseases such as HIV and hepatitis B and C, overdose deaths, and drug dependence. In that, we came with the almighty Section 43, which was to allow us to sort several cultivation of cannabis for medical and industrial purposes. The intent was to regulate and bring local farmers who already are doing this illegally as illicit trade. And therefore, it was very important for us to bring them within the legal space. I must say that lessons learned from these are things that I would always want to be happy to speak to. However, moving on in the process, we hit a roadblock because our Supreme Court outlawed Section 43. However, we are also positive that come the few months ahead of us, we will overturn that decision through the same legal process and procedures. Ghana, in its forward march, decided to do what we call a national stakeholder engagement, dialoguing on drug reform policy by bringing all people in mainstream. So I must share some of the lessons we learned in those discussions. It allowed science and evidence on the ground to direct the policies. We must avoid moral, religious sentiments. We are a secular state where faith-based organizations have a real big voice in the country. This forum also allowed us to open an honest debate among ourselves and appreciate the various perspectives and views in the discussion during such sessions. We engage widely. All stakeholders who matter were brought to the table for an honest conversation. This encouraged many of my colleagues in member states here to also open their doors. I'm using this as a clarion call to all of us and open doors to civil society organizations who I must say are real champions back home in Ghana. But last but not the least, you must also remember that reform is a continuous process and it can be very long due to the nature of our political environment. The National Dialogue on Drug Policy on Human Rights, our main objective as outlined was first of course to help us on drug policy and health. Drug use is a public health issue and it's recommended for health centers should be first point of call for people who use drugs, just like any other health condition. This is our recommendation, and this is how we discuss these things. The need to put in place opioid agonist treatment, such as methadone, for people who inject drugs, with participants pointing to positive experiences in Senegal and other African countries were outlawed in that meeting. And then incorporating human rights issues into the curriculum of public health schools and recommending evidence-based drug prevention in schools as part of their curricula. The outcomes of this dialogue clearly demonstrated that the drug policy and criminal justice responses were positive for us and they opened them into this. This is going to help Ghana align the judicial system to its international human rights obligations. And it was noted that Ghana's laws do not envisage an amnesty for people already incarcerated for drug offenses and depenalized under the Narcotics Control Act 1019. Which is the current act in Ghana. It was recommended that There should be serious advocacy for retroactive application of the new law consistent with the international conventions we sign on to and practice. Drug policy and development. Participants called for the participation of smallholder farmers in programs aimed at promoting regulated farming of cannabis for industrial and medicinal purposes in Ghana. Because looking at the current permitting regime, we were very sure we would leave them in this space because people will come with big boxes and it will be difficult for them to have. It was also noted that illegal cultivation of cannabis is highly lucrative. Thus, alternative livelihood programs must provide equally viable options for the farmers so they gain the same amount of economic gains they've been having in their past illicit trade. There is a need to ensure crops used for alternative livelihoods seek resolve food security issues. There were additional recommendations that discussions on alternative livelihoods are broadened beyond farming, so other viable business are explored. Developing gender-sensitive drug policy. It was recommended that existing and newly developed drug services in Ghana are standardized, regulated, and gender-sensitive, which includes, inter alia, having provision for childcare, provision for sexual and reproductive health care, measures to address gender-based violence, etc. It was also recommended that an assessment of the needs of women who use drugs is conducted to allow for the appropriate development of targeted services. There were a few recommendations were made, and I just want you to go through with them immediately. We need an open and honest debate around the drug situation in the region. There is no size fits all. We need multifaceted approaches. Again, we have to look at arrest and seizures alone cannot address all the issues around the drug situation. We cannot arrest our way through the problem. We needed to broaden the conversation by bringing all stakeholders on board. The drug issue is not a security issue. It's a health and human rights development issue, a cross-cutting issue requiring multifaceted approaches. In addressing the issues, we needed to ensure that the solutions are people and community-centered, health, and that the human rights of people at the center of things are addressed as well. And lastly, there must be a cross-party engagement as much as possible. It's important for people in committees on drug policies in parliament to be retained in their committees once they win their seats and return into the House for institutional memory. This is critical because we are a multi-party democratic state and we need all-inclusive approaches to win this business in drug reform. I thank you for your attention.
That was Seth Kwame Achampong, a member of the Parliament of Ghana, speaking at a side event entitled The Efforts of Ghana Towards Placing Health and Human Rights at the Heart of National Drug Policy, Lessons Learned and Future Opportunities, which was held March 15th during the 66th annual session of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. We'll bring you more next week. For now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's Audio Port service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.